Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, the Nooner, where you guys are probably just now digging into lunch and you get this opportunity to enjoy your lunch break with us. And Mike Bacsik is part of it as well. Guys, this is a very big hypothetical for Rangers fans, and that's one of the things that I love about lunch break. 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. If it would lead to the exact same results as the Astros when they had that in 2017, would you be okay with the Rangers cheating the same way in 2020? So that means already knowing what we've seen. That means what's probably going to happen, Kevin, is Chris Woodward's getting fired and JD.
Always have a World Series on their resume.
Would you be okay?
He wants it. Yeah.
Would you be okay?
I mean, why do you even want to win that piece of metal?
Want a piece of this?
With the Rangers.
We play for the love of the game.
Cheating in order to get a World Series championship. Now, Kevin once, by the way, Kevin once said that he would suck Rafael Palmeiro's Congress-pointing finger.
Dude.
Y'all remember he was pointing his finger at Rafael Palmeiro.
I've not been on the show long enough to know where that was going.
Me neither, Bacsik.
Man, I wish you could have seen Bacsik's face.
Trouble.
Y'all remember him saying that him pointing his finger saying, I never did that. And Kevin said he would do that. He would take that finger and he would, in order for a World Series. Because as a Rangers fan, the closest we've gotten is Game 6.
All right. We were in Game 7.
Yeah, we were close in Game 7, too.
And so, as a Rangers fan, we do not have that championship.
All right.
And, Kevin, I know you pointed out the other day, if the Rangers win before the Astros do, we could always claim that we were the first ones to do it legitimately. If we were to cheat...
This scenario wouldn't lend itself well to that now, would it? I'll do it. I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out there.
I would.
For somebody who was like, you were on your high horse, I'll drop off my high horse right here. I think I would do it because I have seen every other championship, right? Like, living in the Metroplex my entire life, I've seen the Cowboys win multiple Super Bowls.
How old are you?
40.
Okay.
I saw the Stars win a championship. I have seen the Mavericks win a championship. Hell, the first championship I ever saw was the Dallas Sidekicks. So, like, I remember all of that. But this is the one thing that I've never seen. So I'm, like, obviously an entitled and spoiled sports fan in this scenario. But seeing the repercussions thus far for the Astros, which to me is still, like, not much, I'll do it. Because it'll change later. But no one's ever going to take away those memories. Like, you think about, and I hate to do this because Corey does this and it pisses me off every single time, but you think about how different all of those moments in your memory would have been if things would have gone differently in that one particular game that we don't need to talk about and the catch would have been made, how much you would remember that forever.
I thought I would be on your side. I was on your side a week or so ago. But after seeing the repercussions of the press conference and now the players show up to spring training, I think as a Ranger fan, I will always look at that. And as a baseball fan, because probably the Rangers on my list are kind of third on my list just because I ended up playing for other teams and stuff. So I kind of lost a little bit of love of just Rangers. But as a baseball fan and Rangers fan, I'm going to look at the 2017 championship as a fake championship. Doesn't matter they didn't take it away. I'm going to look at it. If my kids say, what do you think of that? Because I say, look, it's a fake championship. They didn't really win it. They cheated about as bad as you can cheat to win it. So because of that, if the Rangers were to do it and win the championship, I would look at the Rangers and say, man, it's my team. It's great, but... it's fake. It's not real.
But that would be after the fact, right?
You're talking about the moment would be an unbelievable moment, so I'd always have that moment. And then a year and a half, 2 years later, they say, hey, you cheated, you didn't win it. but I live that moment is what you're saying.
Exactly, because I always think about that when they're like, well, we strip Bobby Bowden of these wins or we strip Reggie Bush of the Heisman. You're like, but not really, right? Like, I still
you
saw
live
it.
That
I know what happened.
Well,
what,
let me ask you this.
Add to it, the fans didn't know that was happening during that time anyway.
Right. Exactly.
Would it change if the hypothetical that Kevin is or that Corey's asking is, you know it during the time? It's not public, but everybody knows you're cheating,
then,
and they're like, well, I mean, they won, but we all know that they cheated, and now the commissioner is going to say, well, you guys at the ceremony, here's your piece of metal for cheating your way to a championship.
That would probably change my perspective, because I can look back now at the 90s Rangers and be like, I don't know about some of that.
The other teams were doing
it. Okay, but and at the time, like 96, we rolled into Yankee Stadium and won game one of the divisional series. I was like, we're never going to lose again. Nobody's going to stop this juggernaut. And like, if I knew at the time that we were cheating, then that probably would have changed my entire perspective.
So when you say about those 90s Rangers, what are you talking about? Suggested PEDs?
We're not suggested. We're ground zero for
doesn't
the steroid
doesn't it irritate you
epidemic.
That happened and we still couldn't win?
Yes! That's the biggest...
cheated and still couldn't win.
I'm telling you, the biggest annoyance I have in sports is the holding call on a busted play. I'm like, we didn't even cheat well on that play. We cheated and it still didn't work. So, yes, that does bother me. But just knowing then that we would have that World Series, because you've already heard the Astros. You've already seen some of the Astros fans or some of the players start to push back now. And they're like, whatever, we still won it. So
that's the crazy thing about this is now the Astros are going, oh, screw you type of deal. Lance McCullers, who's always been a volatile interview / social media guy. I mean, he's never held back that he doesn't mind being a bad guy. Like, I'm going to be not a bad person, but I'm going to be the heel. I'm going to be the heel, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind playing that role of the bad guy. And you have Reddick coming out, the outfielder kind of saying, now we're going to shut everybody up and stuff like that. That's bugging me to just, you guys deserve everything you're getting. And you're not even being specific on your cheating. Like, come on. How specific? We know that it happened in the playoffs, but how specific was it? Like, oh, you guys, we're humans. Okay, that's fine. Tell us, how much did you cheat? How much did you know in the World Series? How much did you? I mean, the Nationals weren't just paranoid. The Nationals knew you guys were cheating last year, and it didn't. You guys were so close to a championship. Everybody thought when you guys headed back to Houston up 3-2, you guys were winning another championship. And most of the baseball world believes now you got to the World Series in 2019 only based off of cheating, not based off of, well, we stopped cheating. And even the commissioner said, we just couldn't put it together. We can't find the information.
I mean,
of
even
the exact
Carlos,
cheating.
Carlos so Correa said, he said, yeah, the trash can was there during the World Series, but they came prepared with so many different combinations of signs that we couldn't crack the code.
Yeah.
Because we couldn't cheat, that's why we lost the World Series.
Yeah, and people are asking, Mike, didn't the NFL just do that for the Patriots after Deflategate? I get it, and this makes me look at the Patriots different. The Patriots have had a two-decade run unmatched in NFL football. They cheated to do it. But
you're in the minority on that.
Because I do. Well, I guess I was in the minority of here in Dallas-Fort Worth. I really respect and think Tom Brady's the best quarterback. I really need to look inside of myself and probably stop saying that. Not say that he wasn't great. He was great. But did they cheat to do it? They did. Altuve's a great Major League Baseball player. Did he cheat to get his awards? He did. He's cheated his way to All-Star games. He's cheated his way to an MVP. He cheated his way to one of the greatest home runs we've seen in Major League history in the playoffs. And so it's tough because some of the guys that I've respected the most over the last 10 years or so is Tom Brady and Jose Altuve, and they're both cheaters. They're both great players, but they're both cheaters, and so it's tough.
Will that fall by the wayside? Because, like, I think you and I guess, are in the minority on Tom Brady, because you hear all the time, Tom Brady is the GOAT. And you ignore that there was scandals surrounding 4 to 5 of their Super Bowls.
Yeah.
But I feel like people don't bring that up a lot. They're like, he's the best. He won 6 Super Bowls. And people just forget over time. Maybe they won't forget this over time, but let's say Houston went on to win a couple more, and like you could never prove, where there were like whispers of whatever, will people remember? Or they'll just like, yeah, well, they did win 4.
I think people will remember.
Okay.
Because people like you exist.
But I'm in the minority on this.
Right. But, well, because, you know, we each year is a new championship. But I see what you're saying. But the people, I think it's that era of people that live. Maybe in the grand history of sports, it's never, you know, people will forget those little things. But that's again, why I say Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame. Because he did cheat. And that part of the story does need to be represented. Because it happened. That era happened in baseball. And I know you think of the Hall of Fame as, well, this is what all the class, we want to prove and show the class. Oh, man, I mean, you kind of want to tell the whole story, not rewrite the history of it all, but they just want to show off what was good about the story.
Would you want it? I know I answered no. I would not want the Rangers to win a World Series this way. You haven't answered, Corey.
I don't want the moment of sitting there looking at my team going, God, we didn't actually win it.
But if you didn't know,
I want that party so bad, though. I want, because Mike, me and Gavin Dawson were standing there videoing the Fan Sports Lounge during game 6. I was so pumped about my baseball team that I watched Pete O'Brien and Pete Incaviglia and Steve Buchel. I watched them through all of that. We were so close to finally getting that moment, and I've experienced it with Dirk. I hugged so many people when Dirk won, when the Mavericks won. Yeah. I was probably still a little young and didn't really understand it when the Cowboys were winning their championships. I remembered the Stars getting their championship. For the Rangers to finally get their first one, that moment would be glorious. So yeah. I would love it, but I would always hate my team later.
Here's what's tough with the cheating thing is, I had opportunities to do steroids, and I thought about it.
Huh.
I decided not to, because I just decided, not that I couldn't live with myself and I was going to off myself if I did it and got caught, but I just ultimately decided I don't want to make it that way. If I make it in this sport, which I was struggling tremendously at a AAA level, I was good in AAA. I just, every time I went to the major leagues, was too inconsistent to stay up there. And I just decided, you know what, either I can or I can't. And if I can't, then I can't. And it ended up being that I really couldn't. Or the opportunities, you know, there can be excuses, and some legitimate, some not. But I think the cheating, which is interesting to me with the Astros now, is their players are coming out going like, deal with it. We're the champs. And I just think to myself, if I would have done steroids, if I would have especially got caught, I wouldn't start telling people, deal with it. Like, I still made my $5 million a year, and you can whatever with how you feel about it. I would say, man, it was a horrible, wrong decision, and whatever you say about me, I understand. Some can be very hurtful and very wrong on what you're saying about me, but I deserve it because of what I did, and I can't defend what I did, and I'm never going to defend what I did. And yet the Astros now, after having to do their, we know now, a week ago, it was fake apologies from most of them, because now they can't handle the heat. 1 week later, they're all coming out and going, here's 2 middle fingers. What do you think of that?
Yeah, because it's weighing too much.
And maybe it's better for baseball that they're going to be that way, that they are going to be so hated that they're going to play the role of being the hated team and just really be cocky and arrogant that we don't care. If we have a chance to cheat again, we're going to find another way to cheat.
I know we brought this up a long time ago, and I keep seeing it more and more, but do you think we'll ever hear Nolan make a comment about this?
I honestly don't think so.
I don't either.
He can have the beef company and never have to say anything,
right? It's a great question when people text in the AutoFlex Leasing fan text, do you think Nolan knew about this and all we can do is theorize on it? And I think
it's a great question.
I think he had a great idea that the Astros were cheating. He might not have known the exact specific way they were doing it, but if everybody
around
baseball...
Tell me he's sitting there on the front row of that stadium and he can't hear a trash can being hit every couple minutes?
He knew that the Astros were cheating. We just don't know how specific he knew.
The feedback on this is absolutely remarkable. I just want to get at least...
Most people just saying that we're the best show on The Fan, and I appreciate that.
I always appreciate that. From the 214, I wouldn't be able to look my kids in the eye and tell them not to lie or cheat, and that would destroy me. That's fair.
But that extra boat that we got from that extra $1 million that I got from the World Series would be awesome. You know what I'm saying, Jimmy?
I don't think.
Let's get that boat.
I don't think that was the point at all. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Always hedging your expectations for our morals. Coming up next, what are you expecting for the Mavs in the second half of the season? Talk about next right here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Tomorrow, the Dallas Mavericks get back on the court. And Mike Bassett is like, finally... So we're asking the question, AutoFlex Leasing Fan Text 877-881-1053. What are you expecting for, maybe even hoping for the Mavs in the second half of the season?
Well, number one for me, and I have a whole bunch of them, but number one is, can that Sacramento game to end the first half carry over to what we see the majority of the second half? And that was 60 points, 25 rebounds, and 15 assists. Those numbers are what Luka and Porzingis combined in the stat category. It was, honestly, maybe there's another one I just forget. It was, for me, the first game that after the game was over, I said they did it. They were both dominating, top players in the NBA, the best two players on the court.
It was
in the same game.
It was the perfect variation of what you hope for when we heard this move, right?
Right. That was what you were hoping for, is that you got a 22-year-old at the time traded for a 23-year-old all-star in Porzingis, and then you had Luka on the rise, and we've seen Luka now become a top five player offensively in the game, maybe even top three, and they both did it at the same time. So for me, number one is, out of the 27 games left, I believe it's 27.
That sounds right.
And we know that probably only 22 or 23 of them, Porzingis and Luka, will play in the game together, because they're still going to be with Porzingis back-to-backs that they want to make sure that knee's ready for the playoffs. And for Luka with his ankle, there might be a game or two that he sits out. So for about those 23 games that they play together, I'm hoping, and I really expect for a lot of those games to go – Porzingis and Luka had great games together, which could be awesome going into the playoffs if we get a lot of those games headed into the playoffs.
I think Shippy can agree with me on this one, this fan text from the AutoFlex Leasing fan text from the 903. Make Kevin a Luka fan in the second half.
Yeah, make Kevin, Make Kevin a Luka fan again.
I said
is he a top 24 player in the NBA?
Yes,
right now?
I said he was the top prospect in the draft when he came out, and that he would be the best at three different positions.
You told me he'd be the best in the G League.
You said he might be.
You said if he went to college, he'd be way better.
That would be Michaela, by the way. Make Kevin a Luka fan again. Yeah. So there you go, Michaela.
Oh, I like
it. I like that too.
Put it on a hat.
We can put it. Well,
what color would the hat be?
Politics.
Luka. All right. So for me, the one thing that I love the offensive outburst that we've had. It's amazing to see 150 point games night in and night out. I love it.
Not quite, but okay.
And we talked about this earlier. Who are the final five? I want to see them adjust and figure out who they are and implement these two. Or this one defender, I keep just automatically adding Harkless in. I'm like, yeah, we're going to get him, but he's going to go to the Lakers. But I keep just feeling like we could add those two, and that might give us something real strong to work with. But I think I want to see better defensive effort and better, you know, defensive effort in the final five. But, Mike, you pointed out being so weak at with Porzingis and Luka at those positions, and if it's Seth Curry out on the court, this is going to be a team that's just going to have to be offensive. Their desire to be a good defensive team is going to have to be something that is just stronger than their skill.
So there's two things in particular that jump to mind, and they are kind of broad, but they're obviously the two things that have dragged this team down, is you have to be better in the clutch, and you have to be better at home. All right. So, like, here's what I'll tell you. The Mavericks, and I want to see if you agree with this, Mike. The Mavericks are the worst team in the league in the clutch. Yeah. And then they're the worst good team in the league at home. So those are the two things that I'm bringing to the table. Is if you look at, like, not just the teams in the playoffs, but I'm saying, like, the top 12 teams, maybe 13 teams, because the NBA is, like, very much a have and have not this year. They easily have the worst record at home. And then if you measure clutch by the last 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and 5 minutes, they're the worst or next to worst in every single one of those categories. So you have to be able to figure out a way to not necessarily just fix, because you can't just go from being the worst to, like, being awesome. But if the Mavericks could be mediocre at either one of those things, they would be awesome. They would be in the top three or four.
I totally agree with you. Those are the frustrating things with the Mavs. And even when I know the clutch, the numbers just don't go into when you lose the game, because you could be up. Like, some of them isn't even clutch. Like, when you're up by 13 points with a minute and 10 seconds to go against Milwaukee, and then it becomes a 2 or 1 point game with 15 seconds. Most of your debacle didn't even happen in clutch. They had to get down to clutch, had to get it down to five for these stats to even come into play. So there's tons of times where the Mavs are actually up by double-digit points with 3 minutes to go, and then for the last minute it becomes clutch time because they couldn't hold on to a 14-point lead with 3 minutes to go, that now we're down to, hey, it's a minute and 5 seconds to go, and now it's down to a 3-point game, which just is amazing to me that the last 5 minutes can go so bad for the Mavs. One, we talked about their struggles defensively, which Corey brought up, and then the clutch situation is how can they go from the best offensive team in NBA history for 55 minutes of a game and then go into one of the worst offenses in the game in the 2019-20 season? It's amazing to me that happens, and if they can just become average at what you guys are talking about, and they have an easy schedule. They have actually one of the easiest schedules remaining.
Really? I don't think I knew that.
In the NBA. So right now, if you look at it, some people are putting make the playoffs. That's pretty easy. They have an 8.5 game advantage over Portland, who's the 9 seed. So with that many games to go, and Portland actually does have a tough schedule, I don't think you have to worry about the playoffs as a Mavs fan. What I wonder is, and it goes to home court, if you even care about this, the Mavs are 3.5 games back of the Utah Jazz.
Okay.
To get the 4 seed. I don't know how much that matters to you guys this year. Does that matter? Is that something you want to see in the second half? Is somehow to have such a great second half that you could get to a 4 seed? Does that matter for your playoffs at all this year?
I actually think not. And I heard Mark Cuban on with Sean and RJ is like, we want to get home court advantage. No, you don't. You're 15-14 at home. You're 18-8 on the road. You know what I really would?
You want the money from home court advantage, Kevin.
I mean, I do see the advantage of that, but what I would love to see happen is Utah tumble down a little bit, and then everybody else moves up, and the Mavs jump up to 5.
Okay.
Because then you play the Rockets in the opening
small
round.
Small ball, and see how you get to play against small ball.
And I don't mind that matchup compared to, like, obviously I'd much rather play them than the Clippers, but I would also rather play the Rockets than the Jazz or the Nuggets, and I think it would be really interesting if you did not have home court and got that matchup.
There are two questions that I wanted to present. One is from the 214. Isn't Porzingis leading the league in average blocks a game?
He might be.
And
that alone doesn't mean he's a great defender. Exactly.
Right.
He's a great rim protector.
If you watch the Mavs games quite a few times, the other team wants to put Porzingis in the pick and roll.
Yeah.
And because you switch almost all pick and rolls in the NBA now, then that puts Porzingis on Damian Lillard, let's just say. And I know you wouldn't be playing him, but they're going to make sure the Rockets, when James Harden is dribbling the ball down the court, whoever Luka and or Porzingis is guarding, they're going to want that guy to set the pick to get Dorian Finney-Smith or Tim Hardaway Jr., whoever's guarding James Harden. They're going to try to set that pick to get Luka or Porzingis on Harden for that possession.
And Porzingis is actually 6th in the league in blocks.
And he's still pretty he's a great rim protector.
Stop hating on Kristaps, man.
I didn't hate at all.
He's great at helping off the ball rim protection. Now, I have another one that I want to present to you guys.
I didn't get to my second one, though, Mike.
Oh. Well, I don't want to get to the second one until you get to your second
Thank you. I appreciate that.
The other one was
the minutes. The way the minutes go for
see how nice I am early
for Luka. Luka played the whole first quarter, played the whole third quarter and then was sparing in the fourth quarter.
Right, he plays the last 6 minutes approximately.
They kind of adjusted that in the last month or so and started seeing more of him doing the fourth quarter. Does that matter to y'all when he plays?
I think it does matter. What I'd like to see personally is if he needs to sit out the last 3 minutes of the third quarter. I know he's great at finishing out the quarter in the third quarter, but I just wonder if the first 3 minutes of the fourth quarter are more important than the last 3 minutes of the third. And I know that's weird because it's all the same. All the minutes count and all the points count. But the Mavericks can get off to sometimes really slow starts in the fourth quarter. And I just wonder if you had Luka out there for the first 3 minutes of the fourth quarter with that rest of the last few minutes of the third plus in between the quarter, Luka, lead us for 3 minutes, come back off the court, sit for 2 to 3 minutes, and then you got to play the last 6 minutes approximately.
Is he physically ready for that?
He should be. You know, he's only averaging 33 minutes a game, which when you look at what star players average per game, that's really low.
But he has a high usage
rate. He does, and that's where you would love to see over time. I don't think it can happen in this season. Over time that you get somebody that can take his usage rate down a little bit.
So that his minutes can go up.
Yes, that's where, like, Kemba Walker, I wasn't crazy about Kemba Walker in the offseason.
How do you feel now?
And now I feel like, man, if we could have added Kemba Walker, things would have been much different because not that I need Kemba having the ball 50% and Luka 50%, but you could see where Kemba's working great with Tatum and Brown and Hayward. Like, he is fitting in great on a great team. I just was worried with him being in Charlotte his whole career on pathetic teams, what would he do with another guy like Luka on his team? And I know Luka handles the ball way more than Tatum and Brown and Hayward, but we're seeing Walker can fit in great with a great team, and I just was concerned about that. Now,
hey, Mike. I want you to take your last one that you're talking about now.
Here's what I want to see in the second half, and I don't know if this is going to happen or not. Can they work in Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and or Willie Cauley-Stein into the rotation? A guy that they just picked up right before the All-Star break and a guy they picked up 2 weeks before the All-Star break in a trade in Willie Cauley-Stein. Can they figure out roles for these two guys in the rotation, or will we get – a month from now and say, you know what, it's just too hard for them to figure out their rotation spot without being on the team before the season started?
That's a great question, because that's one of the things that I wrote down as well, because I think that makes this team more multidimensional if you can add some defensive stuff like that. Like, I'm not worried. I understand that they don't particularly bring a bunch to the table offensively, either one of them. However, this is a defensive lacking team. And so if you can work them into the rotation and still have an offense that flows while working in their defense, I think that makes this team a lot more interesting.
Yeah. Now, I've Willie Cauley-Stein in particular, I don't know what he can, like, is capable of more than what I saw, what I liked of him in college, because I didn't watch enough of what the Kings were doing. I just didn't.
Yeah.
And he was not.
I went to a game last year where he got 18 rebounds against the Mavs, so I was kind of like, hey, man, this guy can really help out a team. And then nobody really wanted him in the offseason.
Yeah, and then he landed with the Warriors, and I want to say that's because, A, the Warriors brand, B, it's the West Coast. I mean, just staying out there is kind of, it's easy to do. But I know this is an impossible comparison. Tyson Chandler was such a defensive heartbeat of this team, and nobody's ever I feel like Dwight Powell kind of was a plus defender. I feel like if Cauley-Stein wanted to take that role and say, I'm going to be that guy, or I'm going to be the presence that they need. Can you imagine if he was that defender and you had Porzingis out there at the four and Luka at the three, and you were able to put those guys on the court together and still do the things they can do offensively, especially if you establish a really great pick and roll or pick and pop with Porzingis and Luka?
That's a team that can cause chaos, which is one of the reasons I told you I would love to see them match up with Houston, because if you win that, then there, you know, you got to feel like there's a decent shot you get the Lakers in the second round. I'm not saying like they're going to topple the Lakers or anything, but how much does the buzz grow around this team if Luka and Kristaps and company not only win in the first round, but give the Lakers headaches in the second round? And then you've got Anthony Davis and LeBron talking about, holy crap, that team's going to be really good. That's going to do huge things for us.
If that were to happen. I agree. There's a lot of people on the Autoflex Leasing fan text that don't feel like the Mavs really have a chance in the first round. And it's tough to see them having a chance, because you brought it up, Kevin, to start off what you want to see. Horrible in the clutch, horrible at home.
Yep.
Those don't bode well when you have to play in the playoffs. And most likely, you're going to be the underdog in it because you're taking on Houston, Utah, LA, or LA. I'm going to ask you guys.
Or Denver,
Or Denver. Do you guys have, is Houston the team you really want to see?
Houston is the team I want to see for
Corey?
Sure. The last team I want to see is the Clippers, but Houston is the team I most want to see.
I want the Clippers or the Lakers.
You do not.
You like facing all the best teams all the time.
No, Kevin knows
actually
this.
That is true.
Kevin knows this about me. I want to first off eliminate the best team I can anyway, to take them out of the competition before I get tired. All right. And then secondly, I wanna see how tall I am. I wanna see what I'm at
again?
How far away I am. How far away I am from being that good. I mean, from being that caliber team, what does it take to be that team? I understand the experience of getting to the second round would be awesome. But or getting that far, and maybe even getting wins in the playoffs is important too.
I know we're out of time. One of the other things that I want to see, and I don't think it will happen this year, is I'd love to see if DeLon Wright or Jalen Brunson can separate themselves as the true point guard type of situation.
Let's talk a little more about that tomorrow, because I think that's a really good conversation.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, more from Mike, because it's time for Baseball Nuggets.
Well, we didn't get to it yesterday. Let's talk about Solak, center field. Gallo, where should he hit? And are we putting too much into the leadoff spot next?
I love baseball.
Check out Bill Dickinson's group of dealerships. You got DallasTruckWorld.com, Mesquite Mitsubishi at MyMitsu.com, and, of course, SouthwestKia.com.
Thanks a lot, Shippy. We got the KNC Masterpiece here.
My pleasure, Corey.
Hey, anytime, man.
Uh-huh.
105.
That's what I'm supposed to say.
Is that hurtful. Passive aggressiveness from Shippy over there?
Yeah.
All right. Let's take it away with Mike Bassick's Baseball Nuggets.
Well, Corey, yesterday we didn't get to this topic you had, and then you refused to put it into the run sheet. So I decided to put it in Baseball Nuggets here to start
move.
Off.
In your face.
You wanted to talk about Joey Gallo and where he fits in this lineup. And I think that's a great great question that we really don't know where they're going to put him. Just to give you an idea, last year, Joey Gallo with new manager Chris Woodward pretty much said, I don't want to bat first, second, third, or fourth. He just didn't want to. It was really weird because at one point as he was crushing the baseball early on in the season, I remember asking Sandler, hey, why don't they at this point, what he's doing, why don't they get him out of batting fifth and move him up to third? And remember the year before with Banny's last year as manager, they had him bat second to start the year off because the trend in baseball is the best hitter bat second in your lineup. That's where Mike Trout was batting. We'll get to Chris Bryant here in a little bit Nuggets, but that's where he was batting. If you looked at a lot of the best hitters in baseball, they were batting second in the lineup, and the Rangers thought 2018, we're going to bat Joey Gallo, who we think is going to be our best hitter, second. Failed a whole bunch. Got moved out of that spot. Ended up for the year not having a horrible year, but not having what you'd consider a great year. Last year did have a good to great year, but they still wouldn't move him in the lineup. Now with those 70 games and the All-Star appearance, we're all wondering, can Joey Gallo handle batting in the top four spot in the lineup?
And we don't know more about why he didn't want that to begin with. And then he was also like, and I don't want to play third base. It seems like, I don't know, just based off of what I heard, sometimes he asks for some things and you're like, okay, maybe in time you can earn those things, but not right now.
I think what they're doing is because early on in his career, he was considered right. They were thinking he would have what Pete Alonso did last year. Let's be honest. In 2016, if I have my years right, I might be off. They thought that he would come up and be Pete Alonso. They thought that he could come up and totally dominate the game with his power. And maybe he would struggle a little bit average-wise, but he was going to what we saw in 2018, that he would immediately do that in the major leagues. Yep. And then 2019 would be more like 2017 without getting hurt, and they'd have an MVP on their hands in the 2017 season. And it just didn't happen that quickly for him. And because there was pressure on him to perform quickly at a major league level, because there was pressure on him in 2018 to become the best hitter in the lineup.
Is it just pressure from, just real quick, is it just pressure from the team, or is it also pressure from his little league teammates and what they went off into the world and did?
I think it all has something to do. I think you can, if you're cutting the pie of 100% of pressure on Joey Gallo, where does it fall on him growing up with Bryce Harper and Chris Bryant? Where does it that he's supposed to be a savior of the Texas Rangers? Where is it just mentally in his mind that I don't like having the pressure on me being the number one guy, the pressure of John Daniels or whoever it is, like you have to be able to do this for us? I think it's all cut up and we don't know exactly where it is in Gallo's brain and where it is with the Rangers and the manager and stuff, but they want him to have an MVP year this year. I don't believe the MVP year can happen from the fifth spot in the lineup.
But from the second spot?
I would put him fourth in the lineup.
Okay.
And here's why. I can't put him third because I guess I could, but then the two-hole hitter has to be a right-handed hitter. Chu's going to be your leadoff guy. Chu has proven over the last few years, he's a great leadoff hitter. He's not the fastest guy. He's not going to steal a ton of bases, but an amazing stat to me is last year, Ronald Acuña Jr. had 37 stolen bases. That doesn't even sound that impressive, and yet the league where you need to steal more bases because you have a pitcher hitting ninth, 37 stolen bases led the National League in stolen bases last year. So you're talking about barely stealing bases now, even in the National League. So your leadoff hitter does need to be able to score on a single from second to me and does need to score on a double from first base. That's the two things that I'd really like out of my leadoff guy, and he is a year older in Chu. He is able to score from second base on most singles and is able to score from first base on most doubles. So I'm okay with him being the leadoff hitter and getting on base 40% of the time. My two-hole hitter, I'm going to believe in what I saw the last 2 months of the season from Willie Calhoun. Willie Calhoun has a better he got better. Joey Gallo got better at his plate discipline. At times, he lost it. And you know when he lost it, he was losing it right before he got hurt because I remember being so interested in when he comes off the injured list, will he be able to regain the plate discipline we saw the first 2 months of the season, or will the plate discipline that we're seeing start to fade because guys revert back into their bad plate discipline as the season goes on. There's been so many guys that they say they want to work so hard on, and some guys can figure it out. A lot of guys, the majority of guys, they start slide. Reverting back to who they are, and that is a guy that's a free swinger that will swing pitches out of the zone. And I was so interested to see, will Joey Gallo get back to plate discipline, Joey Gallo, or be a little bit more free swinging where we saw
free
him,
swinger, baby.
His batting average go down and start missing it. So because Willie's batting second, I can't bat Joey third because lefty, 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 it won't work. Eventually, I will get into a situation in a game where I'm like, son of a gun, I just have too many lefties at the top of my lineup that teams in the sixth, seventh, eighth inning can take advantage of with a reliever coming in. And if you, I have to face three guys, what better way? They're not going to pinch hit for Calhoun and Joey Gallo.
And Mike, for the casual fan, it's like, but why does it matter that much? You're a Major League Baseball player. Can't right. you hit a left-handed pitcher?
For righties, it's a lot easier because 80% of pitchers are right-handed. 20 to maybe in certain situations, 25%. But usually in a Major League season, if you look at all the Major Leaguers who pitched, usually you're going to be around 20% left-handed pitchers pitch in a Major League game. And so because they don't see them a lot, and then you do have to give guys days off here and there that you're going to say, hey, it's a lefty pitcher. It's probably better for you to have this day off this week than facing a righty guy that you have more success off of. So then I'm not even facing them every time possible for a lefty on lefty matchup. It's just very tough. It's special when you get a lefty guy that is also as good or even better facing left-handed pitcher. So it's just one of those things where if 80% of pitchers were left-handers, righties would have problems facing right-handed pitchers because it's just something where the angle of the ball coming in, when the ball is moving away from you, like it looks like it's coming at you and then the ball moves away from you, rather than seeing the ball way away from you coming into you, it's just a thing where the eyes are better at seeing the ball as a left-handed hitter, seeing the ball far away from you coming into you, then looking like it's coming at you and then moving away from you.
Okay, so having a right-handed hitting left-handed first baseman is what you want.
A right-handed hitting.
Left-handed.
Glove. Left-handed glove first
You know, it's
baseman.
Funny. In today's game, that sounds horrible, and I would say no, Corey. But in today's game with the shifts, batting left-handed, which used to be an advantage because you could get to first base quicker and you would see more right-handed pitching, the way that the shift has taken away the batting average from a lot of left-handed hitters and the way that we don't steal bases anymore, getting to first base isn't as valuable as it used to be because of we want to see extra base hits slash home runs, is being a right-handed hitter might be a more advantage than being a left-handed hitter in today's game.
Kevin said that would never be the case, but Did here I? We are again, Kevin.
I don't know if I
All right, so here
that.
Becomes the big issue with Joey Gallo is he is probably your best hitter. You're going to be batting him fourth. Is who bats third on this team? And this is where FanGraphs and everybody says this is where this lineup becomes really tough to predict because you don't have four good hitters in this lineup. You said Elvis. I actually had to put Elvis there.
You say you don't feel good. No, you don't feel good about it, though.
I do.
Elvis, you do?
Why not?
Elvis in most lineups would bat seventh or eighth.
Oh.
And he's probably.
Even the last two seasons? The last
2017, no, but 2018 and 2019, yes. He would bat seventh or eighth.
Oh, wow.
Maybe even ninth in some lineups.
I think too highly of him.
If he was the starting shortstop for the Yankees or the starting shortstop for the Astros, I know that's a tough team to, you know, he might be really good with the Astros if you tell him what's coming. But if you put him on most what you'd consider quality teams with quality lineups, he's batting seventh, eighth, or ninth, and I would say most likely seventh or eighth in most lineups.
I just want to throw it out there. Like, what do you think has been his batting average the last couple of years?
The last couple of years?
Yeah.
And I maybe I keep forgetting about the 17 season, but 260?
It's 265, whereas 16 it was 302, 17 it was 297. His on-base percentage, 310. 2 years before, 362 and 337. So, like, he's definitely dipped.
And there, I do wonder, man, yeah, I can't give him any excuses. Because if you're going to be a great player, you got to be a great player all the time. Yeah. And he did it a couple seasons when he was working hard with Beltre, and they thought they had something going, and he was kind of pressured to be that guy again. But whenever they start losing, and you can see on his face that they're out of it, he doesn't play at that same level.
And this is where not getting Anthony Rendon, not getting Chris Bryant, and it's over, by the way. I'm going to just move to Chris Bryant real quick. Chris Bryant, the Cubs have come out. He's leading off. He's going to be a leadoff hitter, which I don't agree with, but they're going to have him as the leadoff hitter now instead of the number two hole hitter because he's such a great on-base percentage guy. And they're like, we're not trading him. We're building our lineup now around Chris Davis batting leadoff for this season. He's done with trade discussions. Not that they ever really got that serious with it. And Nolan Arenado has reported to Colorado's camp, and he says, look, I'm not going to be a problem. I'm not going to be an issue. I'm going to be a positive guy. I'm here to be a Colorado Rocky and play my butt off for the Colorado Rockies. It's over and done with. So Arenado's done. Bryant's done. We all know that Anthony Rendon signed with the Angels. The Rangers are not getting a guy to bat third in their lineup this season that we believe is a three-hole hitter.
Could at some point Nick Solak become the three-hole hitter?
I debated about that. And right now I said no to start the season, no.
Because Elvis is your veteran.
Right, but that is where hopefully by the time we get to mid-June, for the Rangers to have a great season, we're talking about Calhoun, Gallo, and Solak being the pillars of this offense.
All right.
I hope that it's Odor too, but I mean, let's be honest. That's something that is so far down the road that you shouldn't be. Yeah,
there's no
you shouldn't
way to know
be
that.
Thinking
you can hope that
to,
all you,
you
like.
You hope it, but you shouldn't be thinking at this point in his career that he's actually going to become a good, consistent hitter. So, I have Solak batting seventh right now as our center fielder, but after Gallo, I have Frazier.
Oh, and you have him in center field?
Yeah, I think that they're going to try this out because of this.
Danny Santana's not going to be our center fielder?
No. Listen to me here.
Okay, sorry.
Frazier batting fifth, playing third. Odor batting sixth, playing second. Solak, because I have to split up lefties again. Solak batting seventh in center field. Guzman batting eighth, playing first base. It can be Greg Bird, but they're both left-handed, below-average hitters. And then Chirinos batting ninth at catcher. And the reason that I didn't want to put Guzman batting ninth, even though he might be worse than Chirinos is, I got Chu and Calhoun batting first and second, both being left-handed guys. So as the lineup turns over, I got lefty, lefty, lefty coming up. So it makes sense for a righty to be batting ninth with Chu and Calhoun being left. Now, here's the reason on Solak. Great question, Corey, is Santana, I put a big parenthesis around Frazier, Odor, Solak, and Guzman. Every day, Danny Santana can play third base, second base, center field, or first base. So he can sub in. He can be every day. I can have Santana in the lineup for Frazier, Odor, Solak, or Guzman based on matchups. So I think that's why they are talking about now Solak being your everyday center fielder. Not that he's going to play it 145 times this year, but I think they can say, hey, Danny Santana is better today in center field. Or Danny Santana, I think they believe Danny Santana is a better third baseman and second baseman than Solak is. And because of that, if I move Danny Santana to my everyday center fielder, then I'm going to replace Frazier and Odor in the lineup sometimes with Solak. And they don't believe defensively he's as good defensively. And Solak's never played first. I have to replace Guzman. Every time there's a left-handed pitcher, Guzman needs to be out of the game. You can do a lot of different things, right? Santana played first base last year, too. So I think they look at Santana going, Santana's going to play five out of every six games or five out of every seven games. We just aren't going to pigeonhole him or put him in center field when we need him to play third base, second base, and first base on a regular basis. That's baseball nuggets.
Problem solved, champion.
No, no. I heard more problems there than I heard solutions.
I know, but I get accused of being too negative. So here I'm going positive, all right? We're fine.
Positive Kevin.
Offense is going to be great.
Shippy's always been asking for it.
Somebody, go ahead. I'll do it tomorrow. Questions tomorrow from Autoflex Leasing Fan.
All right. Your segment's too good.
Ask Mike is what we like to call it.
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's talk a little bit more about these potential changes to the NFL playoffs and bold predictions for the 2020 NFL offseason. Talk about all of that next right here on The Fan. But before we talk about that, what if I had a bold prediction for you to change your finances in 2020? Yeah. What do you got to do? You got to go to 1-800-LAWYERS, call Mark Rubin up, or you can go check out DallasTexasLegal.com, because a lot of people listening right now, Corey, they're like, I need to change something or else. Ugh.
Man, Mark's such a good guy. It's always great to talk to him. And if the endless phone calls from credit card companies are kind of driving you insane, which it won't if Mark Rubin's around for you. Those debt collection agencies, they don't stop talking to you, Kevin. And what happens is you start thinking every night, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can do this anymore. One call to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS can end all of that. Don't talk to an out-of-state debt consolidation firm. Talk to Mark Rubin at 1-800-LAWYERS. Call Mark Rubin right now, 1-800-LAWYERS or DallasTexasLegal.com. Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.